Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Shift. It's Dez here in beautiful West Hampton Dunes, Long Island, east end of Suffolk County, which rarely has been the total location for our podcast. But this week's episode, I brought Katie and our guest Chloe McGovern out to the beach, and we recorded on the beach. Beautiful setting. The most beautiful setting really you could possibly have for a podcast. And I'm not trying to make you guys jealous. I'm just filling you in on the truth of the situation. Great up coming up. First, we have a fun chat about whether a guy should pay on a date or not, which I think is quite controversial. However, felt pretty unanimous amongst our trio that the guy should pay. But, you know, any feedback on that is appreciated. And then the meat of the episode, we talk about herpes, HSV2, genital herpes, really, because Chloe is very openly discusses in her comedy act that she has herpes. And it's important, I guess. Well, first of all, it's important to know the information about herpes, how to prevent the transmission of herpes. But it's also important to destigmatize herpes, because in actual fact, there's a lot of misinformation about it. And Chloe is great at sharing her personal story and helping to get that across. Thanks to her for being so honest. Thanks to both Katie and Chloe for coming all the way out to West Hampton. Sadly, this episode is a little late only because when I sat down last night to edit it, I realized that I didn't have everything. Some of my stuff was back in the city. So I went into the city and got my stuff and came back out. So this episode is now going up on Wednesday evening. It's still hump day, so officially we're not late. But I normally have it up first thing in the morning, so I apologize for that. Anyway, it's a great ep. You don't need to hear from me. Chat to you after the episode. This is Chloe McGovern, myself and Katie, chatting about herpes.
I love showers.
All right, so I've pressed record. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome, Chloe. Welcome to The Shift.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thanks for having me. Oh,
why am I squinting? Because I don't have my sunglasses on. So, we're on the beach in West Hampton. West Hampton Dunes, to be exact. And we are recording this for video also, but let's not make that our main focus, you know? Let's make our main focus the audio experience.
Yes.
Despite the incredibly beautiful visual experience that is behind us.
Yeah, the sea is behind us.
The Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
The Atlantic Ocean. I mean, afterwards, I think we'll maybe get some content for our meditation app.
I think this will be a really spiritual episode.
Are you feeling spiritual right now?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's a very spiritual place.
I feel relaxed. I feel like I'm in the womb.
Oh. This beach has a lot of this beach has a lot of memories for me. But we won't get into that now. But since Chloe's also a non-drinker, I can tell you that the house across the street that you were just in is where I had my last drink.
Wow.
On July 15th, 1995.
Wow. Have you already talked about your bottom on
my
the shift?
My first, well, it really wasn't my bottom. It just so happened to be the last day that I drank.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to have your darkest day drinking on the ocean in West Hampton, you know?
Yeah.
But
for the people, if it is just audio, it looks like Big Little Lies. Doesn't it look like Big Little Lies?
Like the East Coast version of it. Okay, yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I think a lot of people have different things. A lot of people say the affair.
Oh, okay.
Just turning off my phone because I already got some little interference. A lot of people say the affair, and then older people like me say Weekend at Bernie's.
Okay.
Does that mean anything to you, Chloe?
I know the reference.
You know the reference.
I haven't seen the movie.
But for me, it's just my life.
Yeah.
So I don't think about it in relation to movies. I think about it in relation to since I was 13 years old, I've been coming out here.
And so me and Chloe got the train out here, but there was a bomb scare. Mm-hmm. Well,
suspicious package.
Someone just left their luggage and there's like all this protocol they have to do.
81-minute delay while they looked for the dogs to come out and sniff the bag.
Which I was going to say, I don't know who would target this train out of the Hamptons, but then I think it's anyone's bet.
Anybody jealous of the experience that we're having right now?
Yeah.
Which is a lovely experience. So, oh, by the way, Chloe McGovern, we haven't even introduced you.
Hi.
Who is this strange voice on our podcast?
Who am I?
Who are you?
I'm a comedian. What else? I don't want to blow the surprise.
You're hot.
Friend of Katie's.
I'm a model / comedian.
Friend of Katie's. Trying to get some more Instagram followers.
Like yeah. My presence is terrible. Please follow me.
Like all the young hotties these days.
Mm-hmm.
Their self-worth is registered in followers and likes.
It is. I posted a picture that got, I think, 75, and it's been haunting me, but I can't
really
delete it.
I love if I get 75.
Dealing with all the technical difficulties of doing a podcast out in the sun, which is I can't really see my screen, but we'll hope for the best. I assume I'm still recording. You know, can you see it, Katie?
No.
Amazing how difficult it is, isn't it?
I can't see a thing.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you for your hand. Anyway. Not really, but we won't bore everybody with the technical difficulties of recording in paradise. So this is actually, in my life, this is the second time I've recorded on the beach. I recorded an episode of the Des Bishop podcast in Aruba.
Oh.
Which was also nice, but not as private as this.
No, this is lovely.
We're the only people on the beach, really.
Yeah, I'm amazed by the privacy out here.
Yeah, the one percenters are really killing it out here. I'll tell you that right now. We're not really a one percenter, but I won't get into the boring history of how my family was able to afford this house. But needless to say, it's just my house and my brother Aiden's house now. And it's a fine place to bring out the young ladies.
It's lovely.
Secretly pretending to make a podcast while I just get two young ladies in my bungalow.
I think you just wanted to drive around with the top down with two women in their 20s.
Exactly. Again.
And you guys make me feel younger than I am.
How old are you?
I'm 28, but I'm 29 this year.
You're still in your 20s.
Are you 28 and a half, Katie?
I'm pushing 30. I'm pushing 30.
So anyway, we're gonna have a serious chat in a bit about sexually transmitted infections and stuff like that. But before we get into that, can we talk about something that you posted, Katie, on your Instagram? You put up a little poll.
Yeah, I put up a poll. Do you expect the guy to pay on the first date? In keeping in mind that he has money and he's like doing well, not like some poor jobless guy who's trying to take you out and can't afford anything.
So can we keep it a little broader to start? In that, do you expect the guy to pay on the first date?
That's basically it.
Generally, yes. But I think the money thing is huge here because generally I've always dated people who make more money than me, so I also have,
but you're young default, you're 24 years old.
Yeah, exactly. I've never been in a situation where I'm making, but so I have dated women and men, and when it comes to women, you just kind of go back and forth.
It's easier that way.
Yeah,
you're just and, like, I'll get this round, you get the next one. Or like, I asked the one girl out and I chose the spot, so I paid.
Now, I expect them to pay on the first date, but then I would do something like on the next date, like if I really liked them, I'd slyly pay, or, you know, like with the last guy I was seeing, I would have to slyly do it, but it was like nice, you know, but he made more money than me, so he would generally pay and I would just tip.
Yeah, or like how I paid for you when you came into my restaurant, or you like didn't know.
Yeah. Or like when you come into mine, I just don't give you the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can, but I think...
So basically we're admitting that our podcast up to now has been so goddamn heteronormative, it's really offensive to everybody else.
What is heteronormative?
Listen, that's the word on the street. I don't want to say anything, but you've been canceled. You've been canceled.
Basically, our podcast is entirely heterosexual, really. We haven't touched on, really. Like, this conversation. I'm only kidding, by the way, but...
Oh, yeah, because Chloe said she dates women as well, isn't it?
Yeah, well, basically, she broadened it out straight away to, like, it's a little different when it comes to...
Yeah, which is great. I've never dated a woman, so I wouldn't even know.
Yeah, that was when you're just like, oh, it's really just a back and forth sort of thing.
But it does bring up the interesting thing of how it's, when it's a woman, it's very simple back and forth. But when it's a guy, suddenly it's not.
I have to be honest. I feel like a guy's ego is really involved. And that's where I get nervous. And I feel like I'm tiptoeing around. Like, I don't want to insult him by attempting to pay. I don't know what this dude's deal is. I probably will do the little reach on the first date, but typically expect him to cover it.
And how much do you think tradition is involved?
A lot.
Because it's huge, right?
Yeah, it's really hard to shake that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which comes from a, you know, I mean, it comes from the patriarchy, right? The sense that usually men did have more money.
Yeah. And
which
the
is still the case to a certain degree, but not as much. But I mean, it comes from the fact that, like, you're going to look after her kind of a thing.
Right. And there's also been the argument made where women spend so much more money on beauty, like, so much more that what you end up spending on dinner probably isn't even like half of what her entire medicine cabinet costs.
Yeah. So basically you're paying for dinner to pay for the waxing. That's going to make your experience later on more enjoyable.
She paid her for her face that you have to look at while you're eating that meal. So
it's like the less you pay for the meal, the more like you should expect her to not wear makeup.
I mean, I like that argument for why we should maintain the tradition to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Because in actual fact, it's very hard to make the argument that it should just be expected that the man pays nowadays if we're looking for a situation where, you know, the patriarchy is dead. But a modern argument would suggest, yes, but there's still, I mean, clearly there's loads of inequality, but just on a lighthearted scale, the amount of money that women invest in their grooming, it makes sense to say that's unfair, even though that's a woman's choice. But it's not really because of the societal pressures, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Any man I'm going to date as well is going to more than likely make a lot more money than me because I don't make a lot of money. And if they're going to bring me out to some fancy ass place, well, if they want me to split, they can bring me to a cheap diner. Like, do you know, sort of way? So,
well, when you brought it
up. Well, the money thing is, to me, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you brought it up initially, that made me think, like, the last guy that I dated where we were, like, routinely going to dinners and stuff. Remember at the end, he brought up that he was like concerned with how much money he was spending. And in my memory, I did offer to pay like a few times and I got a few of our coffee dates. But now I'm like trying to think, was I really making an effort to split? I can't remember.
Well, I think if in any situation, a wealthy guy, like obviously a wealthy guy just wants to go to nice places. So we'll get into your situation in a minute, which I'm aware that our listeners don't know about yet. But just before we get into that, a wealthy guy wants to go to a nice place, he has to expect to pay because he can't know what her financial situation is, but he definitely knows what his financial situation is. And if her financial situation is very strong and she is very adamant that she wants to split the bill, then she can decide or not decide to have that battle, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think more often than not on the first date, I think probably 80% of the time women prefer not to have that battle.
Yeah.
But in the future, if the woman really wants him to understand that she doesn't like being looked after, it's very easy for her to say, listen, I'll get the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think often, well, particularly because there tends to be an age gap where the guy tends to be older in general.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the age difference brings the wealth difference, you know?
Yeah.
On top of all the other reasons why he might be more wealthy.
Yeah, and then I think as well, like the last guy I was dating, he would treat more with them when I did his taxes. Even though I make less, he has way more expenses. So I was like, oh, I should actually maybe I should buy this dinner tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, who was that?
That was Boris, we'll call him.
Oh, Boris. So he was paying. He wasn't paying for dinner?
No, he was. He was great with that. Like, and I would eventually I said, can you at least let me tip because I feel bad? And he was like, sure. And then I would get taxis, but I would just get them before he could because I had the app and he didn't. And then I would like get the takeout and stuff, but he was very much like if we were going out for dinner, he was getting it, and then he'd be so thankful. That
but
you're
in a relationship, it's different anyway, because you can have all that stuff out.
Yeah,
you communicate.
But our first few dates, he was like, "No way, I've invited," because he had invited me out each time. He was like, "No, I've invited you. I have this," and they were to nice places. So I really liked that, to be honest.
And then, do either of you feel like if the guy pays, then there's a bit more of an obligation to like text him back the next time if you're not into it?
That's my issue with it over the long term, with him always paying, is that you feel like your loyalty is being bought.
Yeah.
And that you have a little bit, like, this has even come up for me with, like, I had a friend in high school who paid for my entire vacation to go with her and her family because they were massively, massively wealthy. Like, guy retired at 45 because he made so much money as a hedge fund, whatever. So they paid, which was fine, but then it felt like, okay, I can't argue with you about anything for the next 3 months. You know, it was a little like, because the experience was so nice.
Yeah, which of course,
so nice.
You know, These things should come with no strings attached. But I guess sometimes it's hard to shake certain feelings. Whether you should have them or not is the real question.
Well, I'll tell you, like, if I had a first date and I know that I'm not going to see them again, I will insist on splitting the check.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because I wouldn't do that to them.
And that also kind of cues them.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, does it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess what inspired my Insta story was, now, it wasn't an expensive meal. We just went to Chinatown, but the guy had asked me out for lunch and then ordered all of the food. He didn't, you know.
Didn't consult you.
Didn't consult me, which is like, you know, I was like, okay, that's fine.
That's a power move.
But I kind of feel like he's obviously going to pay if he's ordering all this food. And then when the check came, he put down cash and he said, would you like to put the rest on your card? But when I went to look at the check and took my card out, he hadn't even put enough for splitting it with a 20% tip. So he, let's say it was $44, he only put down 25. So it really, with 44, you'd want to be tipping $9. So that's what, 53. So I ended up having to pay 29.
But why didn't you say to him, hey, we haven't left enough for the tip?
Because I was embarrassed. I was just kind of in shock.
Yeah, but he wasn't. And his situation is more embarrassing.
And I couldn't believe, because he, like, and the thing is, I know he has a good job because he wouldn't shut up about it. And then.
Did you feel yourself getting dry?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is like very unattractive to me. And he said he lives alone as well. And I had kind of said, I had mentioned about how I don't work a lot. So I was surprised. And then, yeah. And then he still continued to text me. And I was like, this guy hasn't a clue. He doesn't realize that this was.
Was he hot?
You know what was so funny? He was hot until he stood up. I know that's really
short.
Bad.
Short? Short and he doesn't pay the check?
Well, when you're telling me this story, he sounded unattractive. I don't know how to,
You couldn't tell until he stood. Well, do you know what as well? He was telling me about this movie. This is so weird. But he goes, so anyway, and he said the movie. And I go, oh yeah, I've seen it. And he went on to still explain what the movie was about. And I go, no, I've seen it. I love those series. And then he still, I said it twice. And
what was the movie?
The Conjuring movies.
All right.
Wow.
What? Mansplaining.
I know, but it was just like, I guess he just really. Even though, you know,
everybody. I like mansplaining as a concept because everybody explains, but somehow when men do it, it's worse. But he was mansplaining.
Yeah, but no.
Which I like to call explaining. Face. I don't put a gender on it.
I've had that happen with a few. Yeah, that's true. I should. He was condescending.
Well, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, by the way, but I do find it funny because I, you know, especially when it comes to like stuff around feminism, like, you know, I get femsplained all the time, but I don't give a fuck. I'm just like, yeah, I'll learn.
Yeah.
But you bitches got to call it mansplaining. You want to fucking open your ears every now and then.
Well, and if you want people to tune out immediately, just say mansplaining.
But that was a genuine situation of mansplaining.
I think so, yeah. And he asked about my cross as well.
But mansplainers can't split. That's what I say. If you're going to mansplain, you can't split the bill, motherfucker.
Yeah, you got to be paying. And if I have to listen into...
Unbelievable. What was his his job?
Marketing.
Marketing. Okay. Jesus Christ, you think you would have done the market research on fucking first dates?
I know. Do you know, I just presumed, I was like, oh, he must not be interested. But then he texted me the next day and I was like, oh, he's just on a different planet.
Yeah. This guy sounds just clueless.
Wow,
yeah.
I can't believe but you know, he has that disease. Some people have the thrifty disease, you know, that they only see the money going out, you know, and it really hurts them. I'm glad I don't have it because I feel bad for those people.
Like tightness, is it?
Yeah, like the people that like skip rounds, and they always skip rounds, and you realize that this is like a disease in their head. They can't they
so
can't handle it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I hate
feel bad
this.
For them.
No, when you were talking about this guy, I think the reason why he sounds like a guy that didn't do well romantically until he got money.
I'd say as well, he's probably had a lot of online dates where he's never heard from him again, so he's not bothering. Whereas I'm like, well, that's the reason why you won't hear from me. I know, but I probably wouldn't have.
Well, maybe he just got some bad advice. Like, I tell you what, first date, just always split it. Don't even ask.
And you might have thought he might have offended you. Like, I did put out my card, but the thing is, I don't mind splitting it because I didn't really want to see him again. It was more that he didn't even put enough, and he knows I am a bartender.
That's crazy.
Not even enough for a 20% tip. Oh, on his
they don't know. People who don't tip 20%, they just, like, half the time they don't know. Because they'll get those people, too, who are like, thank you so much. That was so great. We loved it. And then I'll look at the tip and it's 10%. And I'm like, well, they're not lying to me.
Katie.
They love the meal and they love the service, but they had no idea.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Did you reply to him?
To who?
To the guy.
Oh.
The text the next day.
He said, thank you so much for lunch. I hope you had a good show. And I just go, I did, TY.
Because I really like you to text back. I'm like, yeah, it was really nice, but when we split the bill, you hadn't left enough for a tip, so I had to leave more money. I'd love to see his response.
I should have really.
No, what do you mean you should have? You still can.
I still could. That's true.
Just for the podcast.
Okay, I'll do it for the podcast.
It's interesting to see what his reaction.
Where's your phone?
Oh, it's in my bag. You want me to do it right now?
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Yes. Well, because if he responds during the course of this podcast, it would be really interesting to see. because it's an interesting experiment in what was going on in his mind.
I wonder if I'll just message and be like, can I just ask you why you didn't? Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I feel like kind of like, I don't even want to get into it. Should I though?
Well, I just find that it's a fun thing to do, but if you're not interested in progressing your career, I think it's totally fine to move through.
Don't think of it as a personal relationship anymore. Just think of it like you're doing crowd work at a show and you're trying to entertain people.
Listen, this motherfucker split the bill with you and didn't leave enough for a tip, Katie.
Yeah, like, and it's not like
it's not like he's
going
to be listening to the podcast being like, am I that cheap guy? And then if he listens to it, then it's good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing splitting the bill. But
well, let's just do the maths here. It was $44, so that should be like a $9 tip, right? Mm-hmm. So that's 53. He left 25.
So it was going to be a $6. It was 44, right? Mm-hmm. 44. So it was going to be a $6 tip.
So even,
right?
Yeah, because he only left
50
three.
$50.
Yeah.
Because I would accept an $8 tip on 44 too. I'm not opposed to an $8.
Yeah. Because it used to be 15 when I was a child. It actually jumped up to 20 in my lifetime. It used to be double the tax. 16.5. That was always the thing. Double the tax.
I think as long as it's 15% or above, I'm like okay with it.
Yeah. So I guess he would have been doing like 15%, or I guess it's like 18. So maybe it's not that bad. But I just think
probably not bad enough to make this text. I'm sorry, Kate. I didn't mean to put you under that much pressure.
Well, it's more. I just don't even want to open up dialogue again.
I know.
He'll be like, "Who's this lunatic texting me?"
Because you can start an mischief. Argument. He could get real pissed.
Well, yeah. I could have another.
I'll kill you. I'd love for some guy to kill you over that.
some guy who's interested in me, who seems really nice, messaged me, asked me, what's your podcast called again? And I was like, anyway, just like not respond.
I don't want anybody listening to my podcast. Actually, I met some girls, not romantically involved with ladies in Chicago, Three Sisters. They were super fun. But one of them has been messaging me like, oh, I love the podcast. You and Katie have great chemistry. I was kind of like, shit.
You and your girlfriend, Katie?
Me and my girlfriend, Katie. I got a message on Instagram being like, I know you and Katie are together now, but I hope we can still chat.
You were like, well,
no.
Were we really, we couldn't chat before anyway.
That's a hard situation to put yourself in as a woman too, to be like the back burner girl.
To be honest, I'm not going to lie. Even if something was going to happen between us, it can't, because Boris once messaged me and told me that he would cut off my remaining testicle if I went anywhere near you.
I know, and thank God I have Boris.
Did he really?
Scaring you.
No.
Away. Oh my God. I'll have no guys interested. Boris has got that covered.
Okay. I mean, that's fine with it. I mean, I always pay. I prefer to pay. I don't even need the pretend to pay for like at least two dates. But after three or four, it does start to weird me out a little bit, just in the sense of like, I actually don't mind paying, but why do you expect me to keep paying? That's what I always think in my head. It's like, I almost kind of want them to tell me, what is it that you think makes it that I should pay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a curiosity more than anything.
Plus, as well, as the lady, don't you love, you know, let's say if they buy their first two dates and then you go up and go to the bathroom, I love this, and I've already paid, and then they're like, they're so impressed. It's like my little move. Third date rule.
Third date
rule?
Oh,
I've never.
If I like them, yeah, third or fourth date,
I'd try to pay?
I'll pay on the sly. I won't even tell them. I'll go to the bathroom and pay.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some dates that have kept going, but they're very adamant, like, second time, let me get the next one. And that's fine. You know, like, with that stuff, I feel like it's each to their own. But once it gets to sort of like 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
I'm like, why am I still paying for you?
Mm-hmm.
You got a good job and,
yeah,
you know, and I still will pay, but I do prefer the fake. Yeah. I prefer the pretend, you know, the, will I get this? No, I got it.
It's just nice to be nice to each other as well. Like, it is nice to treat back, and if you can, obviously. And if you can't, then just like doing something like making them dinner or something if you're really struggling with the cash.
But listen, if you take it in the ass, you're never paying. Simple as that.
I know, I just haven't worked up to that yet.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I still expect you to pay.
Where I work, I get a lot of sugar daddy situations. It's always
where,
like,
do you work?
Remember Public?
Oh yeah, sorry, you said, oh yeah,
yeah. I don't know if I should say it, but there's a lot
you
of
haven't
that.
Even, and it, you haven't even really given away where you work by saying that's a very generic word.
That is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I shouldn't.
It was just
but
a
whatever.
Hint.
Yeah,
it was just a hint.
You can figure it out if you live in New York. But
yeah, but yeah, I can see there'd be a lot of that.
Oh yeah. Well, they have these big windows too that attracts a lot of people who are into other people watching them, because they're big windows that open out and you can see into other apartments. So you get like some weird creeps, but it's. I feel like, I don't know, if you're gonna do the whole like pay for me, just be a sugar baby. Have your whole life paid for. It's gross. I've never, like, looked at that relationship and been like,
You got to be careful because we've had a sugar baby on the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, I should dial that back.
But that's okay. You're allowed to have that judgment.
I'm not.
You're absolutely allowed to feel like that financial arrangement is gross.
Well, because I and if it is who you're talking about, who I think.
Yeah,
she's
it
a
is.
Comic, right?
Yes, it is.
Wendy. I love Wendy.
Yeah.
And when I talk to her about
she's
it.
She's gross to you.
No,
but she's not.
It's
I know. You,
yeah.
She's not the sugar baby that you're talking about. You're talking about the 22-year-old who's really.
Yeah. Well, it was more. I hated that they tried to involve me in it because I was like, they weren't trying to like get me to come with them or anything, but I was just like at the table and they kept trying to like. They were like, you know, it's so funny. The last time we were at this restaurant, I think we really embarrassed the other waitress because we were just all over each other. Like, we're so into each other right now. And, like, they kept trying to be, like, tell me in so many words that they were fucking. And I was like, yeah, I don't care. Just, like, give me your order.
Yeah.
So do you think it was a seeking arrangement? So do you think it was, like, she actually really likes older guys?
I think it was a seeking arrangements.
Okay.
Because there were just certain things that they were doing at the table that read to me as, like, he was like, hey, this is what I'm into. And if I'm going to pay for your whole life, you have to like act like my girlfriend in public.
Right.
Because it was so like performed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's disgusting.
It didn't feel natural.
I think it's disgusting when like older guys, you know, they use like their nice car and their fucking house in the Hamptons. You know?
Just like real women out for podcasts.
I just think it's so sick. Why can't you just get them on the merit of your good looks, your incredible personality, and your storming gigs at the Comedy Cellar. Is that not enough?
Yeah. Rent out some shack at a warehouse in Midtown.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Record your pod there.
All right. Well, let's get serious.
Okay.
You're on our podcast because you have herpes. Which is actually not true.
You know
which
what? I didn't know I was going to get this treatment.
Honestly, it's actually not true because I would have glad. We need to do an episode regardless.
Yeah.
So I'd have gladly had you out as just like a guest on our podcast. We could have kept this conversation going or talked about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Katie tells me that you speak about it quite openly and you're quite comfortable talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think you make it sound less scary because I...
Thank you. Yeah. I hope so. I still like... I started working on it in my comedy, and usually because I didn't really have an agenda when it came to it. I just started when I got diagnosed with it. Like that day, I started writing punchlines about it because it's also very easy to write punchlines about when you're willing to be open about it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that because I had testicular cancer, and I immediately started jokes. And I think it is easy to make comedy when it's an area down there because it's kind of taboo, and that's a good place to be writing jokes.
Yeah.
But before we get into the punchlines, what was the scenario? Like, what happened?
Truly. So this is back when I was drinking too. It was either one of two guys.
Oh, you don't even know.
I don't even know who. And they might not even know that they had it.
Yes.
I just, I had sex with two guys in 1 week, so it's really hard to tell who it was. It also could have been, it can get, like, you can carry the virus for a while before symptoms start manifesting. My gut tells me that's not what happens. But, yeah, I was 19 when I got it, and I wasn't very good at the time about insisting about condoms, and now I'm much, much better about it. And also, when you tell a guy you have herpes...
They insist
on it. There's not a huge...
I think I just want a blowjob, actually.
Although, actually, I did have sex with a guy who also had herpes, and then he tried to have sex without a condom, and I was like, we still have to use a condom, you idiot. This
there's
is how you
things.
Got herpes.
Yeah, and there's other things.
Yeah. I was like, I could have a baby. Like, what are you...
Yeah. I don't want a baby or gonorrhea or chlamydia.
Yeah.
Or HIV.
Yeah. And then he was like, you're not on birth control, and I was like, fuck you.
Anyway, sorry, so...
Yeah, so then I... you know, I got inflamed down there, and at first I thought it was something else. I thought it was like either yeast infection or just, you know, an allergic reaction to like a soap.
So it was very obvious.
Yeah. But at first, so the first time it just was like, it got really inflamed and swollen, but I didn't get that classic like blister.
Yeah.
And then the second time I just got like the textbook outbreak.
Just one or a lot?
Just one. Yeah. I only ever get just one. I've only had... two actual blisters, and I've had this for 5 years now.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, it's I know I'm like
shedding
in a quote unquote. And the term outbreak came from the 70s. It was a pharmaceutical company's ad campaign that was trying to push Valtrex, and so they pioneered using the term outbreak to make it sound way more violent and you know, harsh than it actually is.
But is there a difference between what they say is shedding and an outbreak, or actually that's what you get nowadays, is just when you're aware that it's active?
So that, I think they say you can be shedding and not have an outbreak. So shedding just essentially means you're contagious and you're giving off the virus. I'm not 100% positive on that.
I only know because I did date a woman that had herpes, and mm-hmm. she was very upfront from the get-go and all that. And she filled me in on all the deets. And of mm-hmm. course, like I'm sure many men that you have met in the past, they get a little bit obsessed with it after being with you, in that they get all the info.
Yeah, and sometimes not in a nice way.
Right. Well, I tried to do it in as nice a way as possible.
Yeah.
I didn't discuss it with her, but yeah. I personally went hard on Google.
That's good. You're educating yourself. Yeah. I had one guy, it was a one-night stand. This was in January. I told him beforehand. He said it was cool. We used protection. And then like 4 days later, I got this huge long text from him about he was so worried that he was going to get it. And I was like, I don't know, dude, not my problem. Like, I don't know what to tell. If you're worried, go get tested. Yeah. Yeah. You said you would do it. But he was very emotionally immature, and he had just come from a breakup. So I don't think it was real. I think he was worried about the herpes, but I think what he really wanted was this sort of emotional coddling, because he had just had casual sex with someone for the first time since his 2-year relationship. And I think he was a musician. So I figured,
did he think he had it cause he was symptomatic, or was he just paranoid?
He was just paranoid and just like blowing up. And it's like, dude, this makes me feel so dirty and ashamed now.
Yes.
Yeah. But if you use condoms, it's a very, very, is this a very, very,
I've been told the percentage is 1-2%
if you use condoms.
If you use a condom.
Okay.
And you have to be shedding you have to be contagious.
And I take a pill nightly, which also like significantly reduces your risk.
It's an antiviral, Valtrex, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a virus. It's the same virus that is linked to shingles as well, and chickenpox.
And colds.
Oh, it's the same virus?
I think it's something like that,
Valtrex is used for...
It's definitely the same one as cold sores, I know.
Because they told me that if I... they told me that if I like misuse the pills, it could affect my ability to protect against shingles in the future.
Wow.
Oh.
And that I might get more severe reactions to shingles.
And what is, when you said your vagina was inflamed, what did you mean by that?
It's really red and swollen and like itchy. Jesus. Yeah.
And you thought it was a yeast infection?
I don't know what it was, because it didn't look like herpes the first time. I thought it was BV, honestly, and bacterial vaginosis.
All right.
BV. Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
Me not.
So,
bacterial vaginosis.
So
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah. So that is, it's the pH system. When you have a yeast infection, it's basic. It's over 7. And when you have BV, it's acidic.
Oh,
it's under
acidic.
7. Wow. So yeast is more common. I thought I had BV, and the doctor thought I had BV too. And then the second time I went to the doctor, I actually got a blood test, and it was herpes.
So he went for the herpes test.
Yeah.
And the blood test, how? Because I've gotten the blood test and it came back negative, but then I've heard that that's not 100% accurate. They sometimes get people get false negatives or false positives. Have you heard about that?
I've not heard that. I would assume that just falls within the margin of error of any test.
Okay.
But I don't know.
No. So my understanding on that is that the test only works if you're. It only registers it when you're contagious.
Wait, really?
Is that true?
That is my understanding.
The blood test?
Yeah, because doctors in general will not really suggest getting tested for herpes unless you're symptomatic.
Yeah.
So, because basically the test doesn't work unless you're symptomatic. Mm-hmm. So if you're symptomatic, it's worth checking because it'll show if you have herpes or not. But now, I am open to correction on this, and everyone who's listening can Google. But... I've asked numerous doctors and they say there's no point in getting a herpes test unless you're symptomatic.
Well, I know they don't if you go for a general STD screening, it's not included. So a lot of people think they don't have it just because they get tested regularly, but unless you specifically ask for the herpes test, you're not getting it.
Because I specifically asked for it, but she didn't, it's not like I was having any...
Did she say, yeah, sure? Did she say there's no point?
No, she said, yeah. And then when I went back, she had said they'd already sent out the results, but obviously I didn't understand it. She was like, oh, no, you're fine. It came back negative. So she said it came back negative for herpes simplex 2, which is the herpes. That's the vaginal, but it came back. She was like, you have a small bit of the cold sore virus, which said 99% of the population has.
Yeah.
Most people have that.
Yeah.
But she said, yeah, you test for both. And sure, if the cold sore virus is coming up and I don't have a cold sore, then I'm sure the vagina sores one would come up.
Mm-hmm.
if I don't know.
I mean,
you'd imagine
it's worth a Google. People can get the official stats on that, but that's certainly what I've been told by a couple of doctors. And I have another friend.
I just on the video grabbed my vagina. I forgot we were on the video because for a second I was like, "Oh, my vagina!" Well, I stuck my fingers quite in there, like quite, you know. Anyway, because
well,
I
especially like now you've drawn attention to it too. So if nobody noticed earlier,
oh yeah, they're definitely gonna rewind.
I have another friend that is very paranoid about. She's like overly paranoid about herpes.
Yeah,
and she's told me that on numerous occasions she's gone for STI screenings. And it, like, insisted on the herpes, and they've been like, "Listen, there's really, you know, if you don't have any symptoms, no point." And she's
what
like,
is she
no,
really
I,
afraid
I,
of?
I want it, I want it, and then they give it. But she kind of verified what I had thought about that.
Oh, but I guess that they're probably saying, why would you even bother if you haven't had a reaction? But that's interesting about the inflamed because
I
didn't
know. One favor before we continue.
Yeah.
Put this on yours. Meant to do that earlier and I forgot. But the only difference is because I have the headphones on and you don't, so I can keep track of when I'm nose breathing into the mic. You can't.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. But I should have done it earlier. But it's my fault.
But that's just like the fact that I automatically thought herpes was you just get a bunch of blisters all over there and then you'd know. So that's like.
Well, that's because they want to scare you away from having sex in high school. So they show you the worst picture they possibly can. And then again, also it's included in the ad campaign because they want to sell drugs. And I mean, it's different and I have had severe outbreaks. I'm not going to pretend like it's not painful and it's not very annoying and like disturbing to your like daily routine. But I've also had UTIs that were way more painful than an outbreak.
Yeah.
Like I've had UTIs that I've like called the doctor in tears and been like, I need something now.
Okay. And can I also, what about going down? Like for when you're saying to guys, we're going to use protection. There's not a large, what about when you're saying about going down? Cause obviously you have to be very like,
well, this is like the thing that I brought up earlier. It's like, look, it's like, then don't drive a car, then don't fly. It's like, live your life a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm not going to make a guy go down on me if I'm in an outbreak. I'm not really going to have sex with a guy if I'm in an outbreak. I talked to my doctor about it. And I was like, do I need to like use dental dams? And then she was like, well, like I can't like say no, but like she was like pragmatically and realistically, I don't think you should worry about it that much.
So in a situation where you have genital herpes, well, mm-hmm. which simplex is it? Two.
Two.
So you can give him two in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because you only transmit it into the area that's contacted, right?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? It goes the other way around too, where you can get one on your genitals.
On your genitals. But this is rare, apparently, right? This transmission?
I think it's a little bit more rare. Like, I have just classic too. Simple, clean.
But I think the most important message, because herpes is this like a really dirty word, is that it's not like even close to the issue that people think it is when you have it.
No, and it's like, I was so ashamed when I got it. And it was really a part of like, I mean, I was talking about drinking at the time and then I'm sober now, but it was, I think about 5 or 6 months after it, I got sober. But it was like part of my bottom. Like I was so upset by it when I got it. I felt really disgusting and ashamed. And it was also attached to like a string of.
Did you feel like, stupid? Like that sense of like, how could I be so dumb?
A little bit. Yeah. And I was making a string of really bad sexual decisions where I was like, I don't even like these guys that I was sleeping with. And now I have their herpes all over me. Like it was just
the
like
herpes.
And so it was like, I was more upset about it too, because I've heard of people who get it from relationships and stuff. And I think that's a different story. But like, I was upset because I had a lack of boundaries too, where I had trouble insisting on using a condom.
Mm.
And I would kind of like pretend that I didn't notice that he wasn't using a condom. I went on all these forums online for people that have herpes and it's like, you know, they want to kill themselves and like all these things. And it's like gossip gets out there. And if you're in a smaller,
shameful.
I was in LA where it's like sex positive and like, you know, I went on stage within about a week of getting it and I started talking about it and people thought it was, you know, great. And people like would still hit on me after shows and stuff. Like nobody really gave a shit. But I can imagine, you know, if you're in some small, you know,
community, yeah, I think
like
there's
Wichita
a lot of shame.
Or something. That's easily one of those things where you'd be like, "Oh, his ex-girlfriend got herpes." Yeah.
There's a lot of shame around it for sure. Because I remember years ago, I went to get an STI screening in Dublin, and I said to the doctor, I'm just worried about herpes. You know, because in my mind, you know, that's the one everyone goes, well, that never goes away. That's the stain. That's a stain for life. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, if you have herpes, it's not a big deal. And I was like, what?
Well, it's, it's like a skin thing.
Yeah, it's like it's literally like cold sores on your dick every now and then. But unfortunately, there's a huge nobody when somebody has a cold sore, nobody goes, you filthy fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God, you got a cold sore. You're so weak with viruses.
Mm-hmm. And that's more, you can't really cover that up. That's on your face. At least you can wear underwear. So
yeah.
But what my friend, she has herpes, and she said her boyfriend, when they first got together, was of course very nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went to the doctor said, look, you're probably less likely to get it off her than you are than a one night stand, because she's being honest, she's medicating, she's letting you know when you can't have sex. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're together years now.
Well, it's like we talked about, like, so this is, I'm not positive on numbers. Everyone's going to give you different numbers, but they say like around 1 in 5 people have it. I think most people have slept with more than 5 people. Not to like overgeneralize, but a lot of people have slept with more than 5 people. And like, if you're just out there doing it, and a lot of people, they don't get tested, or they're not specifically requesting herpes. A lot of people don't manifest the symptoms until much later. It's like, odds are you've definitely been in contact with herpes virus.
Mm-hmm. Or you have it in your ass and you don't realize.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
You can get the blisters in your ass, and then some people never know if you had anal.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, just so you know.
But my vagina is really sore right now.
Will you keep this? Stop manifesting all your anxiety in your vagina. You guys got to keep chatting.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I'm going to go to the bathroom,
and I don't mean this to be a gender issue, but I don't have to go all the way back to the house to do that.
Okay. Yeah, I really have to go, and I have to wait until the end.
Oh, you have to go?
Well, I'll wait. I can hold it.
Do you want to take a break? Because we can go in the water.
I can wait. Well, how much longer?
What? We're in a war zone.
How much longer do you think?
Why are you worried about giving everybody in the ocean herpes by peeing in the ocean?
Yeah.
We pee in the ocean. That's what we do here.
Okay.
This is not controversial.
But it's good.
Just so
it's
you
good
know.
To know.
That you pee in the ocean.
That's fine.
No, I'm just for the record, because I don't think everyone knows that. Everybody pees in the ocean.
Okay.
And you know who else does? Every fucking fish, every fucking whale, every dolphin pees in the ocean.
This is the pee ocean positive podcast.
Yeah, but everybody pees in the ocean.
Look, I'm not saying I don't do it, but I just met you today.
Yeah, but we're all, listen, let's take a break and go for a swim.
I don't pee in the
ocean. Let's take a break and go for a swim and have a fucking piss in the ocean.
I don't want to pee in the ocean.
But do you have to pee?
Well, because we've been talking about peeing so much, yeah.
But why don't you want to go in the water and pee?
I like sitting down on the loo.
Is this why you invited us to the Hamptons?
No, but I just don't
understand. This is his
kink. I just don't understand how people that don't come to the beach
all
the time.
He's rubbing the water all over his face.
No, people that don't come to the beach all the time don't realize that people piss in the ocean. Every single person in any of these houses does not go back to their house to piss. They go in the water and they pee. And this is acceptable behavior. And there's no, if you can't sit here and say that you can't be shamed about having herpes and then suggest that somehow you're not supposed to piss in the fucking ocean.
Is this what the 1% talk about over their cocktails?
You pee
in
the ocean.
How was your pee in the ocean?
You piss in the ocean.
I think
we can
Kate
all
and
go.
I
literally have conversations with guys and women that I've just played volleyball with. We're talking to each other. We've all played volleyball for 45 minutes. We're in the water talking to each other, and we all know that we're fucking unloading piss because the ocean is full of piss and shit, and it's just natural, and that's what human beings do. Anyway,
okay, well, pee in
do you
the
want
ocean.
To take a break in the ocean, or do you want to continue doing the podcast for another 10 minutes and then just finish this episode?
Let's just finish the episode.
Let's just do that.
Which is ridiculous, because we're probably going to be 10 minutes in being like, we still have to talk, and we're going to encounter the same issue. And now I don't even know how long we've been talking, because I can't see the goddamn screen. Katie, is this how angry Boris used to get?
No, he had the more the eye. He never...
Anyway, women are better at holding it, so why don't you guys just chat for another 2 minutes, and then I'll be back and I'll be able to focus on the last 10 minutes of the conversation.
I hate UTIs, though. You're right,
they're the worst.
Yeah,
they're so much more painful.
That's why I have the pain in my vagina just thinking about it.
And I think this is biologically why women are a little bit more attuned to commitment than men, because sex comes with so many more consequences for us, because we always get UTIs, and men get UTIs, but it's much more rare.
I'll tell you, I can't even have a guy finger me without getting a UTI. Like, when I'm dating someone, I have to be like, now I have to be nearly like, just fucking wash your hands before you come near me. Like, it has to be nearly that. Because even the last guy I was dating, I was getting UTIs left, right, and center. And it was just, I think, from finger.
Well,
he's very
or
clean,
they'll, like,
it's
go
not,
from, like,
but I think it's my vagina is just so sensitive.
And it's like, they'll move towards the butt, and it's like, okay, if you're going to the butt, this is the
end. You got
to
stop.
This is the coda.
Well, we'll that's why you use your pinky in the butt and then keep it out of the way.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. I like that.
What, what?
I like a pinky in the butt.
Yeah, it's great.
What, what?
Pinky in the butt.
In the butt. What?
Oh, but you know, it's true about like people just not knowing about herpes. Because let's say briefly, I thought someone that I was dating had herpes, and I said to my friend, I was talking about it, and I was like, "Oh my, I think they do." And she took it. She was drinking my drink, and she put it back down. She goes, "Oh no, I've been drinking from your drink." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "What if you caught it? I'm gonna get it because I was drinking from your drink." And I was like, "Do you even know what the fuck herpes is?" I was like, "You need to be rubbing my vagina."
Well, and I grew up in like a place that got good sex, like relatively good sex education compared to like other parts of the country. And like even like I was a little bit clueless. And I do want to include this anecdote because this is, we were talking about how you wish he had just been honest. Well, I guess I can't go into this.
Why?
Have we talked about this?
No.
No.
But you can say about how a person...
Oh, that.
A person she'd been
on. Oh, the story.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
just
we can't
general.
Talk about that. Oh, but disclosure is very important. Yeah, go ahead.
Because well,
let me preface it.
Yeah.
Let me preface it with a personal story of my own then.
Okay. Okay.
And that can get us into it, which is the woman that I dated that had herpes told me literally on our first date, before we even knew if we would kiss, "You just need to know that I have herpes and it's no big deal. And I, you know, I do everything I'm supposed to do. And I'm very aware of when I'm, you know, when it's a problem or it's not. But just so you know, if we continue, that I have that." And she said it's very important to disclose. And one of the biggest problems is people don't disclose.
Yeah. And I have not been an angel about it. When I first got it, there was like one or two people that I didn't tell. And then other times I kind of just rely. It's easier for me to like have them see me do stand up about it, honestly, than having an intimate conversation. And
yeah, because it seems like I have to tell you something.
It's really hard to say it in a chill way that doesn't, because it's kind of like you're talking to a toddler, where it's like, you know how with children, if you're telling them some alarming news, you have to be careful with how you tell a child, because they're picking up on how you're emoting it, and so they're learning how to feel about it from the way that you feel about it. And it's the same with men, where it's like, or whoever it is you're sleeping with, they're going to pick up. If I'm like, "We need to have a serious discussion," they're going to think it's way more serious.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so
I struggle with
how
to do
know.
That. But so my anecdote was that I did that with this guy where we were out having dinner. We hadn't had sex yet. And I brought it up. I told him what it was. I was like, "Let me know if you have any questions." Basically kind of like the same dialogue that you had with your girl. And he said, "No, not like he seemed fine with it." And then we were dating for 3 months and we never had sex, and it never came up. And I was really bad at communicating it, and then I ended up breaking up with him for other reasons, just in that I didn't have feelings for him anymore, and I didn't feel like it was going anywhere. And he asked me to get coffee like 4 months after the breakup, and he told me that the reason we had never had sex was because he was afraid of the herpes, and he didn't know how to bring it up.
He was afraid of the herpes. Why do you always give it "the"? It makes it sound more serious.
Is that my problem?
Yeah. No, I think when you
gotta call it herpes chiller.
You gotta stop disclosing it by saying, "I have the herp."
Yeah, say I've got these cute little herps on my vag.
It's like the herp.
Herps is fun.
I very rarely have
herpes. Call it herpes.
But from my research, that woman said to me that she has friends that have herpes, and that the majority of them don't disclose because they figure most likely they're not going to give it, and they just can't deal with the embarrassment, so they just don't and hope.
But it's actually against the law in New York State. But how would you prove it?
Is it against the law
in New York State? And you know, technically in Ireland,
you just
it would
admit
be
to a crime.
Grievous.
No.
But she would have to infect them and be careless.
And
now,
I'm
there
not
have to be a huge. But
I
it is in the
state. Don't
this
think
stage.
I've infected anyone. Maybe they've just been kind and not told me that they got it after they slept with me. But like,
oh, there've been so many fucking hoes. They didn't know which one gave it to them.
That's true too. Actually, a lot of these.
And
guys
I think
are
a lot of people, if they
sluts.
Like you, they're not gonna. Like, I know a lot of guys who've been dating girls who have had herpes, and they said it wasn't an issue because they were... You just have to be open and honest. Like, where my situation, where I thought I was dating someone and I found out later on that they might have it, that was an awful fright. You
well,
know, you have to be honest.
So the reason I bring up this anecdote is because I do agree that you have to be open and honest, but I think I just want people to be sensitive with how hard
it's so hard.
Because it's easy to be flippant and be like, "Well, just be honest."
Yeah,
like, you'll
you're
understand.
Right. No, you're right.
But it's like, for me, it's like, okay, worst case scenario, you can date someone for 3 months and they will lie about the reasons why they don't want to have sex with you, and it'll be this weird thing that infiltrates your relationship. So now every time I'm telling a guy that I like, I'm like, well, worst case scenario is he could just lie to me, and yeah. like, you
know. No, it is really hard. I can't even imagine, because it's yeah. like when you think about it, like, I don't tell, you know, a guy on the first date that I have a fucked up thing on my toe from playing Gaelic football. I know that they can't get it, but I mean, yeah. like, it's like you're, it's so personal, but you have, yeah.
And there just needs to be more, there's no like, it's hard to have that dialogue before you have sex.
There needs to be yeah. information about it, because people just freak out. They don't know. Like when you say yeah. it's a 2% chance when you're using condoms, but it's a more of a chance to have a baby then, right?
Yeah. It's like if I stopped you before we had sex and was like, hey, just so you know, there's like a 1% chance we could have a kid from this.
But you should be using condoms anyway. I mean, the biggest problem is that people just don't use condoms enough. And there's so just too much casual, particularly when it's casual, you know? I mean, in reality, the only time you should not be using a condom is in a committed relationship where you've both been able to go get tested. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, okay, well, I'm on birth control. Our only concern now is pregnancy, unless one of us fucks around. So then it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But very rarely do people do that, you know?
Yeah.
And even more important, or perhaps just as important, people still have a ton of shame about going for a goddamn STI screening.
Because you're scared of what you're going to find out. I didn't get tested until they're I moved also embarrassed. Over here.
Yeah. People are actually embarrassed. They think like, oh, God, this is such a dirty thing.
No, you gotta do
like,
it.
You're like giving your doctor money, like
literally, just go and get a screening. And the doctors don't give a fuck.
It's so if you have health insurance as well, I think the first one's free because it's preventative.
And if you're worried about the question when they say, "Oh, are you concerned about how many sexual partners have you had?" Just say, "I'm in a new relationship, and she's on birth control, and we both just want to make sure that we don't have any STIs."
Yeah, it's none of their business as well. I don't think they've ever.
But
asked
that's
me.
Just a good one. Oh, they always yeah. ask.
Do they never ask me?
They've never asked you how many sexual partners.
Mm-hmm. Not over here.
Really? Well, it's only I had an STI screening recently. Actually, she asked me.
Oh, I gotta go again. I went in January, which means I'm due, right?
Well, it depends. You're only due if you've been busy.
3-4 people.
Shit.
Well, good for you.
This fucking herpes spreading. Fucking scumbag.
You can still
fucking herpes everywhere. They call it Chloe Simplex One.
And can I ask you then if like you're a so you date women as well? So how does that work for a woman? So a guy can use a condom.
Well, the lowest amount of STIs in the lesbian community. Very hard to transmit, right?
I'd say is a woman probably more understanding? Do you find the women more understanding? Or
I haven't gotten to that point with a woman. So oh, okay. I've really just been experimenting. I
you'd
haven't
have to be,
really that far.
You'd have to be scissoring.
Yeah, which I don't even know if that's what they do.
I don't know.
No, I know, but like, yeah, but I'm just saying it's, on a serious note, lesbians have the lowest rate of STIs. Wow.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's because it's very difficult to transmit. It's, you know, because
they probably all both have bushes too.
Women,
I have a bush.
Women are women are more susceptible to the transmission of sexual transmitted infections because it's going into them, right? Didn't you get that? The receiver is always, you know, the
yeah,
the penetrated.
So my gyno said the pokers are fine and the pokies die. I was like, what?
You know, but yeah, pokers still have problems, but pokies definitely are higher risk.
Yeah.
And so obviously it's very difficult to be the pokey in a lesbian relationship.
True.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And
so that's why,
do they talk about your future health? So let's say, I don't know, like, have you ever thought in the future?
Oh, I get a C-section. I will never have to give vaginal birth.
That's exactly.
Which is like a great perk. Yeah.
I was just about to ask vagina. That. So that's, you have to get a C-section if you decide to have kids.
Yes.
And but so the kids,
which I mean,
the
kids are going to get a lot worse things for my genetics than herpes. Yeah. But yeah,
yeah. I would only get the virus if you had a natural birth.
There's just a slight.
Well, it would have to. You'd have to be symptomatic.
I'd have to be symptomatic, but they just don't want to take because of the shedding thing. They don't want to take that risk.
Wow,
and
so that's
because
like,
it's a child.
That's grand.
I was like, this is. It just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving.
But honestly, a child is worse than herpes.
Oh God, 100% worse.
Jesus,
it's gonna have all my beard.
That's an infection that doesn't go away.
It
also,
just keeps clinging on to all the time. you give it a tablet, it won't go away.
Yeah, it's just there.
Rubbing
it's
cream
there.
On it, it's still there.
It's there. You know, statistically, it's there for your entire life. It's very rare that
talk
you
about
can.
An outbreak.
Yeah. And then even when you, if you can get rid of that infection before you die, that's worse because that's actually the saddest thing that you can possibly experience as a human being. Oh. So in every way, a child is really the most difficult infection that you can get from sex.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. There was something else I was going to ask you about herpes that slipped out of my mind there when we were talking about...
Children?
Oh, yeah. What were you saying before? I was like, this would be a great question. It's gone.
Oh, damn it. That's always the most annoying thing.
Isn't it? I'll think of it a week
later. It'll
come
back to you.
What were you talking about? Okay, so... No, it's gone. But one blister's not that bad.
It's not that bad. That's a very important message, right? No, I'm not speaking from experience.
I think the Irish people will have saw blue waffle, so they probably think that's what
herpes
is. That's
crazy. Yeah, no,
my first impression.
It's not great.
It's not great. It's like imagine how annoying it is to have a blister on your foot as you're walking around the city. Mm. It sucks. It's not comfortable, but you're not like going to kill yourself over it, you know? And that's like the attitude that people have. It's like, yeah, it hurts, but I'll like, and maybe I'll have to like kind of be like, you know what? I got to cancel my plans this evening, call my doctor, make sure I get my meds or whatever. But like for a while, I actually wasn't even taking the pill because I so rarely had outbreaks that were really disturbing that it didn't bother me. But then I went through a really stressful period over the winter. Stress tends to trigger it. Mm. And so then I had a bad outbreak and I was like, the pills are literally $5 a month. It's so cheap. And it's just like peace of mind.
That's really cheap.
It's so cheap.
What's your question before you forget?
Well, it wasn't even a question. It was just that I had said it before in the podcast that I thought I had herpes once. So I did a lot of research into that time. It was actually an allergic reaction to a new shower cream. Mm-hmm. But when I was doing a lot of the research about it, I read about a girl who said it basically was just her life. She felt like her life was turned upside down and dating was so hard. And then she ended up dating a doctor. And when she told him, he was like, "Ash, that's not a big deal at all. It's grand."
Yeah.
And just because he knew the information already. Yeah. And it just...
I mean, they say it filters out the people who should have been filtered out anyways. It still doesn't... Like, rejection hurts no matter like who it's coming from. So I'm not going to like minimize that because it's like because the guy that didn't fuck me for 3 months, I've also talked to other girls where he like in all likelihood, he's got some own issues with his sexuality.
Yeah that's
seriously.
What I was
thinking. How are you going to hold out for 3 months? I don't care what you got.
I was
you got HIV. Fuck that. I don't give a fuck. 3 months? I'm getting in there.
I think he was coming back to you being like, oh, I didn't want to have sex with you because the herpes, more just because he was going through something himself.
I didn't
like
have sex with you because you didn't have a cock.
Yeah.
Probably. Which it wouldn't be a problem.
His was actually beautiful.
He's one.
R.I.P.
I don't find him attractive. I know who she's talking about. I don't find him attractive.
Yeah, but you didn't see his penis.
It's the most beautiful I've ever
seen. She's talking about his penis.
Yeah.
It is also important to mention that the frequency of the outbreaks does get greater, right? Like in general, other than times of stress, you can actually go for large portions of your life without having an issue with it, right?
Mm-hmm. And I get a weird thing, too. I don't think this is a general thing. I don't know why this happens. I think it's just because it's in your nervous system. I get, like, one nerve that gets like, swollen right here. So I could feel that there's, like, a bump anytime I'm, like, nearing an outbreak. So it's, like, I have this little, like...
Trigger. A little thing that tells you, hey, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I have a little button.
Herpes knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, it's me, you know? Yeah.
I wonder as well, will they find a... you know the way they're doing the HPV vaccination, will they do a herpes one? Did any of your doctors ever say that to you? Or?
I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't heard about research being put into it. I don't know if there's a lot of money behind it because
no
from
need.
The medical community standpoint,
It's not important.
Yeah, you have your medication.
HPV is important because it's the
cancer.
Cause of cancer, yeah.
But if they wanted to make a shit ton of money off of like...
Paranoid people.
Yeah, they can create more fear around herpes and then create a vaccine so that everyone panics and buys it.
Well,
but apparently there's been an uptick in herpes infections.
Yeah, because of fucking... they say it's because of hookup apps and casual sex and lack of protected sex because absent of an AIDS epidemic, people are just not freaking out about using condoms.
I also thought millennials were the generation that was having the least amount of sex. I don't know where we're at on this.
I don't think so.
Well...
What am I? A millennial?
You're a millennial.
Mm-hmm. I don't think millennials are having the least amount of sex. I think they're having the most sex, right?
Statistically, they're having less, but I don't care about all these things.
Yeah,
I know that infections are up because of careless behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like pain
and then,
in
like
the
Katie
ocean.
Katie was saying, pubic hair actually helps protect against STIs.
Yes, which we didn't really do as much research after that. We just kind of banged that out. I thought that was a great fact.
It is a great fact.
I wish I could see what this thing is doing. Because I literally have to pee. Like, I'm going to wet myself. You know? I have to pee.
Well, like, I think we kind of got
it's
that
pretty good
all.
Coverage, you know?
Yeah, you were very, like, open and honest, and that was great, and kind of just guys and girls and everybody use condoms, but if you do get it, it's not the fucking end of the world. Statistically, if you say 1 in 5, if there was, you know, then that's a lot, and it is. There's a lot of people who have it who are walking around there, so.
Yeah, and, like,
what's
my mom
a perfect
my mom
penis
said.
To you? just out of curiosity, because you banged that out.
This guy had, what is a perfect penis?
This guy
penis?
Had a perfect penis that wouldn't penetrate you.
I had a feeling you. That you would, thought, that no, would get in your head and no, be like, whoa, what's that?
What? No perfect penis that wasn't penetrated.
I know. It was just big and beautiful. It looks like it was carved out of marble.
Nice.
Did it have no foreskin?
No foreskin. Okay. Which doesn't, I'm not opposed to foreskin at all. I think guys who have foreskin, because they're more sensitive, and also they have to worry about cleaning it a little bit more, because they just have to get under the skin there mm-hmm. every shower and do that. I think they're a little bit more sensitive to sexual health. Because I think with
so?
Most, from what I can tell, the guys that I've talked to who haven't been circumcised, they've had UTIs at some point, generally, just because it's like
thrush,
kind of a
male
curve.
Thrush.
Yeah, and they're not. I feel like most dudes just kind of go in. They like you know, casually wash their dick, but it's not like a whole thing.
No, I'm not circumcised, by the way. You have to. You gotta wash it, otherwise it smells like shit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like it's the same
you don't
thing.
Want that
I
cheese,
learned.
You know, you don't
it
want
doesn't
that
taste nice. It doesn't taste nice when they don't wash proper.
No, and I learned.
And sometimes they have something going on, so it tastes bad because they got something going on. Same way, same as a vagina.
Mm-hmm. Anyways,
but you want your penis the way the Lord intended you.
I'm anti-circumcision generally. I don't judge people if it, but.
But sorry, I cut you off. I was kind of half joking. You were about to say something about your mom. You said your mom said.
Oh, my mom said that the people who look like they don't have herpes are the ones that are most likely to have herpes. That's why they have herpes. It was something like that. It was very like my mom.
Yeah, but the truth is that anybody could have herpes. And even if they did, it doesn't matter. But it's just very important to know that it's out there. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to have it, you have to protect yourself. And if you do have it, you should disclose. But we appreciate that you're experiencing a lot of shame that we can't identify with. So I'm not judging you.
Yeah. But yeah, because even though you are like feeling shame or whatever, you have to realize that if worse came to worse and that person did catch it, then you're going to feel even worse
having a bit of guilt.
Oh, Jesus.
You would have a bit of guilt.
Yeah.
Because then you're just as kind of bad, you know, because someone did that to you without disclosing it. They might not have known. That's the thing as well. Some people don't know. But also not getting tested and then just not knowing and still having sex. That's not safe either.
Frustrating.
I'd rather not know. But that's
so irresponsible.
That's irresponsible in many areas of life, not just... STIs.
Like one guy was like, the guy that freaked out after the fact, after I'd already told him, was like, do I need to get tested now? And I was like, I don't know, man. You just should be in general.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean now? Yeah.
Yeah. And how many times did you get tested? I get tested once a year. That's fine, right? I'm not having a lot of sex, though. So I usually just have partners.
I'm definitely due.
Yeah.
Get a test.
Yeah.
After each partner, yeah. So
I got I randomly ended up getting 2 tests in January because I had a gyno visit and a general visit.
Is it expensive to get 2 tests? Because I feel like getting another one. And I just had one. But I'm like, I want to get another one.
Relax. You don't have to over-test, Katie.
I know. I get scared.
Give it a few months. Get a bit of cock action in so you get value for money.
Yeah,
wait,
Katie.
Wait till you get a bit of value for money, you know?
Back on the apps.
All right. Well, by the way, can I just say this about my friend, even though I shouldn't be sharing her life? But she discovered that there was a ton of women that were infected by the same guy. He didn't tell anybody.
Bastard.
Yeah. Scumbag.
Well, he could. There you go. He could go to jail. She could have a. Because in the actual law in Ireland, it would be just it would be suing because it's grievous bodily harm. But I can't say that word. But in New York, it is an actual you would go to it in HIV. You would go to jail if you is proved that you infected.
Really,
someone.
So it, HIV,
and it's to stop people like that. It's not like someone, but it's someone
serial
who's going around and serial
infectors,
and just to make people more responsible. But
yeah.
Damn.
The fucking pokers, not the pokies. But you know me, man. I love a fucking poke bowl. I'm down in that shit.
Do they have poke bowls in Ireland?
Yeah.
I just saw one for the first time. I didn't know what it was.
Love a poke, man.
Rice and egg, right?
Eat that shit all the time.
I'm hungry now. I'm not really.
Oh, really?
Well, I could do with some of that skinny pop that Chloe got.
Oh, yeah, you want that?
I was using it as a metaphor for vagina, but that's fine that it made you hungry.
Poke?
Oh, I was just thinking about poke bowls.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
A poke bowl.
Yeah.
I was joking because she said it's the pokers and the pokies.
Yeah. But you just don't make me hungry.
I like eating the poke.
Oh, I didn't get that.
That's all right. It wasn't clear. It's clear now. You know, it's supposed to be funny and informative, Katie.
You're very funny
I'm
and informative.
I'm doing my best.
You're keeping it light.
Well, just at the end, I have to pee so bad. You guys are going to go back, but I'm going to fucking go in the ocean for a swim.
I'm going to sit on your loo.
Which is crazy.
I like sitting.
It's insane that you would go all the way back just to come back. Were you going to get in the water?
I think I have a UTI. My vagina hurts right now, so I need to go back. I need to go back and look at it.
Everybody's vagina hurts when they fucking talk about herpes for an hour. My cock.
Is your herpes nerve moving?
My cock was burning from the minute we said we were going to do this episode.
It's down.
Can't wait for this episode to be over so my fucking cock can stop fucking being on fire.
Oh, Jesus.
It's all in your head. Mind over matter, Katie.
I know.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Close your burning vaginas. I will
Chloe,
shut my uncircumcised burning.
Chloe, plug yourself.
Look up from. Oh yeah.
Plug yourself, Jesus.
On camera.
What's your Instagram?
My Instagram is at Chloe McGovern. McGovern is spelled M C G O V R R N because regular McGovern was taken.
Okay.
I follow me on Twitter as well, Chloe McGovern.
That's it, right?
That's it. Yeah.
That's the main thing you want to build up.
Yeah, I got to build my social media following, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'll wrap it up in another time. Like, oh, you can wrap it up. You know what? We'll do it together in the house, though. We'll leave it now because I have to pee so bad.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Chloe, for your very candid personal stories about your experiences with STIs. For everybody out there, I highly recommend that you get a screening. Don't delay. Give in to the sense of that you'd rather not know. And this isn't just because you think you have herpes. Just get a screening. If you're a sexually active person, you should get a screening. You know? Why not? You get a fantastic peace of mind afterwards. Oh, God. I wish I could remember the name. Well, there's Dr. Derek Friedman, who's in Ranelagh. I've been to him before, but there's also another great... Oh, God, why is her name gone out of my head? I had her as a contributor on Des Bishop's Ireland a few years ago, and her name has gone out of my head, even though she's a fantastic doctor. But anyway, there's screening centers all over Ireland. Obviously, if you're listening anywhere else in the world, just Google, get a screening. It's not a big deal. Nobody will shame you about it. Other than that, at Katie Boyle Comic, as always, make sure to add Katie. Feedback to Katie. I'm at Des Bishop on Instagram. I'll be back for the Vodafone Comedy Festival. So if you haven't got tickets for that yet, please do get tickets. Also, if you happen to be in New York this Tuesday at 8:30 in the Fat Black Pussycat at the Comedy Cellar, I'm doing a work in progress show because I'm trying to write a show about my mom and about grief and about anxiety and just about real life. I haven't came up with a name yet. But anyway, that's a work in progress show at the Fat Black Pussycat, 8:30 on Tuesday. Tickets are only $10 with a 2-drink minimum. Work in progress, totally loose. And if you're in Washington, D.C., I'm in Washington, D.C. next Thursday the 18th. So Tuesday the 16th in the Fat Black Pussycat, Thursday the 18th, I'm in Washington, D.C. And then I'm back for the Vodafone Comedy Festival. Nearly the last week, the last week of July. I'll be back in Ireland. So... other than that, give us 5 stars on iTunes if you haven't already. It's up on Spotify, guys. You know, I got a lot of Spotify hassle, and I'm looking at those numbers, and not a lot of you listen on Spotify. So for all the hassle, I don't know if it actually is as exciting as it is. CastBox, though. A lot of people listen on CastBox. It's kind of a sneaky one that came out of nowhere. Anyway, thanks to everybody wherever you listen. And Katie actually did some polls on her Instagram about herpes and about STIs. So don't be afraid to engage with Katie over there or engage with me on Instagram or Twitter at Des Bishop. Facebook is facebook.com/Des Bishop. And yes, that's it. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.